Real music, real interviews, real information. That's why we call it Real Gospel with the X-Man.
Melba Moore is an icon herself. Here she is with McFadden and Whitehead with Let's Stand Together. After this song, I'll speak with the legend herself, Melba Moore. This is Real Gospel. Real Gospel is the place where God gets the glory and artists tell their stories. I'm honored to have this legend. There's just no way I can explain her accolades, but let's just say if you just Google her, you will be blown away. Melba Moore, welcome to Real Gospel.
Thank you so very much. Very happy to be here.
Now, I'm honored to have you, and I always say there's always someone new, and because this is a music ministry, there are people who have no idea who you are. So that's why I said they may have to Google you, but just for their sake, if you could just tell them just a little bit about you and where you're from and how you got into the entertainment business and the music business and the acting business and just a few things about you.
I'll try to be brief, but it's been a long time. God's been good to me. But I guess I came into the world through my mother, a single parent. She was a professional singer, so I have it from her genes. But my natural father was a very famous band leader back in the 50s, 40s and the 50s, by the name of Teddy Hill. You can Google him, too. My mother married a piano player, and he had a son and a daughter. So I then had a sister and a brother, stepsister and a brother. But since he was a piano player, he made us all take piano lessons. And so they married when I was about 10 years old. So before then, because the family was broken and I was isolated, I didn't know that I could sing. I didn't have any siblings or family members to say, gee, she can sing. So everything has come to me late, let me put it that way. But I studied piano from the time I was 10 up through, I guess, yeah, college. When it came time to go to junior high school, by that time, I've been in chorus and people told me that I had a nice voice and, you know, had some solos in school. And so, of course, we were deeply involved with my mother and stepfather's musical career, and music became really the center of our lives. But it was then that I decided I didn't want to go to a public school. I wanted to go to a performance high school. So I forgot to say that I was born and raised, began my life in New York City, Manhattan. And then we moved to Newark, New Jersey. So then I finished elementary school in Newark, New Jersey. But then I went to Arts High, Performing Arts School. And then I went on to major in music at Montclair University in Upper Montclair, New Jersey. And then I taught vocal music in all of the grades in public school in New Jersey, of kindergarten through elementary, through junior high school, through high school. I was what they called an itinerant music teacher. We traveled around from school to school and taught music. Then I said to my stepdad, Daddy, it's your dream to be a school teacher. You're all out having fun performing. Could you please take me to some of your friends and see if you can get me into the industry? And to make a story a little bit shorter, one of the first people I met when he did that was Valerie Simpson. And she was trying to shop her songs. She wasn't yet with Motown. And we were sitting in an outer office of a publisher office, and we exchanged information. And she got me involved with studio backup singing. So I sang behind many of the great artists like Aretha Franklin, Frank Sinatra, Johnny Mathis, Bobby Hibb, a lot of different people. Y'all had to Google them too, because I'm sure your audience is too young to know who these people are, except Aretha Franklin. That's how I got into the industry. But one of the recording sessions was being performed by a songwriter, piano player by the name of Galt McDermott. He had written the music for the Broadway show Hair, but I had no exposure to the music industry, much less Broadway. And they were still casting they were still looking for black people to do featured parts in the show. And so they invited all of us on the recording session to come and sing for the director and the producer, and said that basically, if we wanted to, we without knowing it, had been being auditioned right there in the recording session. So that's how I got my first Broadway show, which was the Broadway musical Hair. Well, I stayed in the show for about a year, and then the female lead left the show to become a big star, and the role was up from a lot of different people, and they weren't really happy for it. But one of the big mouth black girls in the chorus said, how come you don't let, you know, one of the black ladies audition for it? Nevermore, she would be good for it as well. Let her audition for it. And so I did, and I got the part, but I became the first black actress to replace a white actress in a lead role because the actor who left was Diane Keaton.
Wow.
And then my same big mouth black girlfriend, and of course, said, no, but you've been in this show for a year, almost a year and a half, and you really don't know how to audition. That wasn't an audition. That's how you got in this show. She said, you should start going around and learning how to audition. And she told me about auditions for what became my next Broadway musical. And she said, you have to do what they call typecast. I said, well, Mary, what's typecast? She said, well, you find out a little bit about the role, do some research, and then you try to look and act like the part. Well, the part was Lutie Bell, Gus, and Mae Jenkins. And I was country because my family was broken. My mother was gone all the time, but I was raised by an orphan backwoods cotton chopper. So I sounded and acted like her. People thought I had studied acting, but I was just imitating my governess. I love that story.
Wow.
Anyway, that gave me the starring role, and it gave me a Tony Award in a career, and that's basically how I got started.
Wow. Well, let me just go ahead and put the icing on the cake and just sort of introduce you formally this way. Melba Moore is a prolific 5-octave, 4-time Grammy nominated singer and Tony Award winning actress. She also is a contemporary soul, R&B, pop, rock, jazz, and gospel recording artist, and her work spans the 70s, 80s, 90s, and stretching into the 2000s. And so I just, when I say I'm honored, I did that because I wanted people to hear sort of the untold story that you sort of tell, that you don't get to tell, and a lot of that is not in your bio. So now they definitely have
right. An
idea of who you are, and part of the reason that you're on the program today, and I'm blessed to have you on here, is you're continuing to do great work. And I love the song "Let's Stand Together." I also love the song "Call Me" that you did with Shirley Murdoch, and I just want to get some information about you and some of the history behind
sure.
this music, and what why'd you decide to go ahead and do these songs with Shirley Murdoch and also the legendary McFadden and Whitehead.
Okay, let's see. I'll start with McFadden and Whitehead only because it chronologically happened first. When I was married, I'm divorced now, but my then husband really went out and got the best songwriters and producers for me. That's why I have such a prolific recording history. He went out and got Van McCoy, and you can Google him too. He really brought in the contemporary dance era, which we now call disco. When my parents were out, of course, they danced, and they called it something else. But he brought it in with one particular song called The Hustle, the Disco Hustle.
Mm-hmm.
So my then husband, let me say what his name is. His name is Charles Huggins, because he was incredible. And he's also the father of my daughter. So we're family, you know. Mm-hmm. Once God institutes something, even though you make mistakes, you can't really destroy it.
Yes, ma'am.
So we're still family. And of course, I don't care what you do, it belongs to God. So mm-hmm. I condescend to make it the whole thing, whatever he gives me, ministry. So Charles was looking for songwriters and producers for me. The first one he found was Van McCoy, and he gave me This Is It and a whole beautiful array of dance records and ballads. But after that, he found Gene McFadden and John Whitehead, and he kind of borrowed them from Gamble and Huff. Well, yeah, eventually he gave them to me.
Mm-hmm.
And it was because of Charles Huggins that Gene and John recorded Ain't No Stopping Us Now, because at that point we were managing them. Our company was called Hush Productions. And Gamble and Huff wouldn't allow them to perform as artists, performers. And they wanted to be artists, not just songwriters, writing hits for Philly International. So we produced them singing Ain't No Stopping Us Now. Of course, everybody knows that song. But while they were with us, Charles and Gene and John, they really became family. And so I started to write with them at Charles's suggestion. He said, you need to learn, you know, if you can write, see if you can write. You don't know if you can or not. Anyway, we wrote and performed Let's Stand Together. That's the history of that. That happened first. And then the duet. Now, over time, I lost my marriage. For a while, I lost my daughter. I lost my career.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
Well, you won't be when you see what God, you know how God does.
Yes.
Things. Okay. About 2 weeks before I was supposed to get evicted from my Central Park South apartment, I get a call from the one who actually started the gospel musical, Michael Matthews. People don't remember that. They know Tyler Perry for having taken the gospel musical to television and film, and now, of course, he's really the Black Hollywood. Mm-hmm. He's really done an incredible job. But during that time, I was about to be evicted, and Michael Matthews called me to come out on the road with him, with his gospel musicals, and he made me one of the stars. And while I was out on the road now, first of all, Black people know what chitlin is, but I'll tell you.
Yeah, we do.
In case people too young to know what that is. That means they pay you by cash.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know about, we keep good books and everything, but we don't do checks and stuff like that. We pay you cash. Well, Michael Matthews, now I'm homeless, broke, I ain't got no bank account, I don't even have an address, okay? And he pays me $7,000 cash every week. So I don't even have no place to put it. So he tickles me every time I tell this story. He gives me these brown paper bags to put it in and a couple of security guards to take me back to my room so don't nobody accost me for it. And my buddies out on the road, we weren't just doing gospel plays. I didn't know this, X-Men, but I was saved.
Wow.
And the first day that we had rehearsal, I know one of the girls in the cast said, "Good morning, saints. Praise the Lord, everybody." I thought I had died, this man.
Wow.
And went to heaven because I was used to people cussing around me. But the point is, I had lost everything. And at that time, I wasn't depressed. Cause I don't think when you're saved, you can be depressed. There's a spirit in you that just keeps that from happening.
Mm-hmm.
You can be oppressed and you can be just grief-stricken because you're stunned. And but these people, they stayed with me. They prayed with me. So I really had the experience of even the bus driver was saved. And everybody prayed like
wow.
He did before we started. We pray all the time. We pray. I was just in another zone because there was nothing around me but saved people. And that's how I learned that I was saved. But as we were on the road, I came across Shirley Murdoch. And I went to see one of her shows. And, oh, of course, you know, she's just amazing. But she said that she had come to Pearly to see me and that I was very nice to her. And I said, "Thank you, God, you made me a nice person." And I told her that, see, I'm born and raised Catholic. And so I didn't sing gospel. I was learning to sing it on the road with Michael Matthews. And I didn't have any Christian music now that I was saved. And I asked her, could she show me how to get some Christian music? Because I didn't have a career. I couldn't make any recordings anymore. And she said she and her husband would write me some songs, and she explained it to me that would tell my testimony. I said, well, excuse me if I get tickled. What's a testimony? See, you people know what a testimony is, all right? She says, that's when you tell what Jesus has done for you. I said, oh. So that's your new story. And so she and Dale wrote Call Me so I could have a testimony.
Wow. Mm-hmm. That is awesome. That is awesome. And God is continuing to use you in an awesome way, in a mighty way. And as I said, well, we're out of time. I've got to have you back on the program. And Ms. Moore, will you come back another time so that we can talk more about, you know, your life and the music, and just there's just so many things I could talk to you all day. It's just
good. Well, you know what? If your time allotment doesn't allow it, then maybe you could have me back a few times, and we'll take it in small sections.
If you're willing to come back, I'm willing to have you back. We'll work that out with James Huggins.
I would be so honored.
The one and only legend herself, Melba Moore. She will be back on Real Gospel, everybody, so that we can continue to hear her story about how God is continuing to use her. Ms. Melba Moore, thank you so much for joining us on Real Gospel.
Thank you for having me. Bless you.
You're listening to Real Gospel with the X-Men. And the Real Flashback Song of the Hour is on the way.
Learn how thousands of smart homeowners are investing about a dollar to avoid expensive home repair bills. John, a former non-customer, said, "My air conditioner broke and I had to spend $1,900 to fix it." Jeff, a customer, wrote, "My air conditioner broke and I got a new one at no out-of-pocket cost." Mary, a former non-customer, wrote, "My heating system stopped running. I had to spend $3,000 to get a new one." Lisa, a customer, wrote, "My heater stopped working. I got it fixed at no out-of-pocket cost." For about $1 a day, you can have all the major appliances and systems in your home guaranteed fixed or replaced with HSC's home warranty coverage. Call now, and the first month is free. If the lines are busy, please call back.
800-869-9139. 800-869-9139. 800-869-9139. That's 800-869-9139.